Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to game week one of the 2023-24 season. This time I'm joined by FPL General, aka Mark. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Good to be recording with you again. It's been a long time coming. So good to see your face again on the old Zoom.
Cheers.
Yeah, excited. Not too far away now from game week one. So trying, like everyone else, to finalise these picks. So I feel quite settled with about 2 weeks to go. And when there's a day or two to go, that's when the panic kicks in. So yeah. I want to try and lock my team in Thursday night if I can, but it's probably going to be impossible.
Yeah, it is. You start looking at things on social media and seeing other people's teams, and you think, oh, maybe I do want that player. Oh, maybe I'm wrong about this player. But okay, so what we're going to do with this show is it's called General's Orders. So you're going to give everyone watching and listening orders for the week. And then we're going to look at your team to see how well you're following your own orders, and then bring in some of the dilemmas that you're facing, particularly around defenders and goalkeeper and some of those midfielders as well. Meanwhile, just before we were recording, it is emerged that Harry Kane might be leaving Spurs finally. It looks like an offer has been accepted, but as I said, he's not all 100% yet, so by the time you watch this, he may have turned that offer down from Bayern Munich. He may be going, we don't know. We might not know until the weekend even. What we'll do towards the end of the programme, we've got a couple of dads from the Dad's Army. A couple of people have sent in their dad's teams, so we're going to hack those apart or offer constructive advice, probably hopefully the latter. Mark, I mean, before we look at your team and the orders, I've just got to bring up this Kane issue as well. Does that change your thinking at all? I'm presumably you couldn't squeeze Kane into your team anyway.
Yeah, I love a bit of chaos, particularly close to the deadline. I know people are just trying to finalize their teams, and then a spanner could be thrown into the works. If Kane does end up going before the deadline, you know, a lot of people might be interested in Richarlison as a out of position forward at 7 million. So I don't think it will change my thinking too much. I wasn't looking at Kane anyway because of kind of team structure. I like the one premium teams. And Richarlison for me, I think he could be an excellent FPL prospect if Kane does go, but I don't really feel like I need to go there straight away, particularly with the fixtures. I think it might be Brentford and Manchester United first for Tottenham. So yeah. I think I've got Mitoma at the moment with good fixtures in my midfield. We'll talk about my order soon, but if you leave some cash in the bank, a move from Mitoma to Richarlison, possibly game week three or game week four when Brighton's fixtures turn, I think will be a popular strategy. So exciting for FPL if Kane does go, I think, because Kane probably wasn't going to be in many teams anyway. And it hopefully will throw in another very good midfield option into the mix, which is already very, you know, very stacked. So yeah, it is a bit of carnage, because we might arrive at Friday's deadline and not have an answer, and people will have a decision to make. So I'm playing some other fantasy formats as well, and it's kind of a set and forget team for the whole season. So I need to decide: do you put Kane into that, or do you not take the risk? So that's going to add a little bit of extra strategy to that side of things as well.
Definitely. Big decisions to be made. I mean, for me, I've got Madison already in my team. So I'm happy with that, because, as you said, I mean, that Richarlison could be an option there. And so I could move down to Richarlison if he becomes a better option. Presumably penalties will be up for grabs. It's not 100% that Son will get them, or Richarlison, or Madison even. So I wonder if Madison might get them. That would be good.
Yeah. How do you feel, Joe, if you've said you've got Madison in your team there? Does if Kane does leave, does that change your thinking, or do you still think you'll go with him anyway?
Yeah, I'll still go with him anyway. I mean, Son and Richarlison aren't too shabby. You know, South Korea and Brazil's, you know, main attacking threats, or rather, you know, one of in Brazil's case. And so there's still goal scorers there. Madison will still make runs. He's still on set pieces. And if he's on penalties as well, if he is on penalties, he's going to be a must own, I think. A lot of people are going to think that, and want to get him in. So I'm quite happy with that. I'm quite happy with Madison. I think, obviously, you know, if you take Harry Kane out of any team, you're reducing the goal threat. But there's still goal threat, and maybe it will aid him. But it's good to have that place in there. And it's good that you're thinking about that as well, even with... you know, Matoma going up to Richarlison, maybe even Madison.
Yeah, Madison's been on my mind this week. He hasn't been in too many drafts, but this week he has appeared on the watch list. He's appeared in a few drafts, and I'm not sure how I feel about the whole Kane thing. I would like Kane to be there to be on the end of the chances, but then on the flip side, I think there's a very good chance Madison could get the penalties if Kane goes. So like you say, if that happens, we're all going to be scrambling to get to Madison. So, you know, maybe starting with him is the play. So that's what I need to chew on a bit more for the next 24 hours.
Okay, let's get your orders for the week up. So these are the first three. These are the three main orders that we've got to follow. So you want to run through them then? I've got them up on the screen as well for the viewers.
Yeah, so three orders. The first one is safe picks for game week one. So my notes here say, you know, don't take risks in the opening game week. So that goes along with things like, you know, avoiding new players to the league, avoiding the promoted teams. And I've also kind of added this season teams in transition. So maybe you could class Chelsea in that category, maybe Tottenham to an extent as well. You know, new managers, lots of new players, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, when I sit down Friday and I've got my final draft in front of me, one of the things I'll be asking myself is this: are these safe picks? Do they kind of fit with my usual style of play? Is there anything risky here that maybe I don't want to do? So yeah, it's kind of proven FPL assets, it's good teams, it's good fixtures. It's just trying to keep it simple and not basically trying to avoid getting caught up in bandwagons of players that I don't really believe in for game week one. So yeah, safe picks game week one.
Fair enough. I mean, for my team, thinking about that I've got Pedro in my team, who is, I would consider, a risk, but he's only 5.5, and he's the only one in my team. And I got him in before it was cool as well. He's gone up to about 14% ownership. I got him in at 5%.
And you're a Brighton fan, so
I'm a Brighton fan, and he's the penalty taker, and it looks like he'll start. He's the record signing, so you know, I'm happy with that small risk there. But I do concede I have failed in this order here. What is the next one, though? Ignoring ownership, I've just mentioned ownership for Pedro there, but obviously we've got three players with over 50% ownership. I think it's Saka, Haaland and Estupinan at the moment. So some huge ownership going on there. What your second one? Ignore ownership. How do you do that?
Yeah, and it's kind of related to a line that you yourself have used many times, you know, points over pounds and ownership and all that kind of stuff. I try not to look at the player ownership percentages as much as I can. I'm one of those managers who would love if they hit the ownership going into game week one, and then we don't have an idea really. You can guess. You can have a very good stab at ownerships because of fixtures and stuff like that and prices, but just don't let ownership impact your decisions. You know, don't pick a player just because they've got over 50% ownership. And I think Estupinan's a good example there. He's He is in my draft. He's been in most of my drafts, but I have slightly been toying with the idea just today and yesterday. You know, do I really, really need to go there? Could I go a Manchester City defender instead, for example, mm-hmm. who I don't currently have in my draft, mm-hmm. or even a Chilwell or something like that? So I'm questioning everything. I'm not looking at Estupin in my team and thinking he has to be there because he's dangerous if I don't own him. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, can I get a player, regardless of what their ownership is, to outscore Estupin mm-hmm. over the first couple of game weeks? Like I said, nothing is set in stone until the deadline passes. So, yeah, don't let ownership play into your thinking when it comes to your picks is a good piece of advice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point with say, Estupin. I think his ownership is high, not because people are looking at his ownership and thinking it's so high, I've got to get him in. But I think people are genuinely looking at the fact that he's nailed on, plays for an attacking side, and they've got the first three fixtures are great, the first two in particular for Brighton. So it goes back to point one, not taking risks. He's nailed on in an attacking side. And in pre-season, he's already got shown his assist potential there.
Yeah, and that, again, like you say, it plays into point number one. That's why he has been in most of my drafts, because I do class him as a safe pick, and there's a good chance he'll probably stay.
Yeah, definitely. It is tricky to do that, especially with so much information, like, for example, live FPL each match, and you can see where your rank is going up and down, you know, mid-game. But you mentioned the Man City defender as well. Obviously, you want to get a Man City defender in because Man City are good. But also, I think John Stones is getting on for a quarter of the game own him at the moment. And so presumably there's going to be a bit of interest in, say, Ederson, Diaz, etc. So you're starting to look at quite a hefty ownership from a Man City defence. So if they get a clean sheet, it could cost non-owners. So once again, that's perhaps ownership does come into play a bit there.
Yeah, and it's the Man City one. It's when I sit and look at most of my draft, it's Haaland only. Mm. And I think to myself, if you're simplifying FPL again, who won the league last season? Who scored the most FPL points? It's probably Man City. You know, so why do I only have one? Mm. And the one player that I have, I'm not going to benefit from anyway, because most people are going to have him and captain him. So, and I, again, it comes back to fixtures for me. Manchester's fixtures, you know, first 6 to 8 game weeks, I see a lot of clean sheets in there. Mm. I don't really want to pay a premium for a goalkeeper like Ederson. So I am looking at Ruben Diaz. I'm looking at Stones, you know, possibly Guardiol if we get a team leak. But I think I'd probably spend the 0.5 extra for a Stones or a Diaz. And again, I kind of class Diaz and Stones as safe picks again. Yes, there might be some concerns over rotation, but, you know, lots and lots of minutes last season. I think there'll be, you know, two of the first names on Pep's team sheet if they're fit. So I could end up there yet.
Okay. And your third order of the week?
Yeah, third order is keep 0.5 million in the bank. And I should caveat this with if you can and if you are 100% happy with your 15-man squad, because there'll be plenty of people out there who will pick a 15-man squad. There'll be 0.0 in the bank. In that case, if you're really happy with it, I would say don't go out of your way to find 0.5. If you think a player is worth spending it on, that's fine. And you can, you know, figure things out later. But if you can, if you're happy with a squad that has, you know, 99.5, as we know, it's very frustrating at the start of an FPL season. The price rises happen very fast. What 0.1 rise or fall, you're priced out of a move. So that 0.5 can be very, very useful. So I am going to try and do that. But I think we'll see with my team shortly that I'm not following that rule in my latest draft. So that's something I might try and fix before Friday.
Okay. Well, that is an order I have followed. In my current team, I do have 0.5 in the bank. And it's because when you want to make, if you want to make a change in game week two, it's so frustrating. The price goes up 0.1, and that's the equivalent of a 0.5, because at the beginning of the season, if you've got nothing in the bank, that's it, point one, you're locked out. But that 0.5 covers you for that initial first couple of game weeks, and you can make that move, for example, to a Matoma to a Richarlison. You can make that move because you've got the 0.5 if there's no price changes. But say you want to move Matoma to Mbomo, and Mbomo goes up 0.1, well, you've covered yourself. You can do that move. And so I liked it. I think I did it. I think I've done it at least a couple of seasons recently. And at the beginning of the week, I had about 3 million in the bank. But as I explained on the Goals Imminent video with Tom, that was probably a bit silly. So I've only got 0.5 in the bank now.
And just on the 0.5 as well, a lot of people will kind of go into the season planning to bank a transfer in Game 2, and they might think, if I'm going to bank in Game 2, maybe I don't need to keep the 0.5 because I'll have the two free transfers. But, you know, we often see it. There'll be a player Game Week 1 that we think, right, I actually can't wait until Game Week 3 for this player. I might need to just actually go and get him. That's why I think the 0.5 is important if you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, we might also get some injury news, for example. I remember one season, you might remember this season as well. It was when Chelsea were really good and they had Drogba, Lampard, Malouda was good as well, I remember then. But there was some concern at the beginning of the season going into Game Week 1 around the fitness of Drogba and Lampard. And so I took a risk on one of them being fit. And I ended up, I think I got Malouda in as a backup. It was one of the ways round with it. But basically, you had three players, and you went two, and I really made an error in that, and it became evident that the best two were obviously, say, Lampard and Drogba, for the sake of argument, and so I could quickly move to them in game week two, and I think I even did it for a hit, and because it was that important. I mean, that's quite an extreme example, but yeah. Definitely don't rule out a game week two transfer.
Again, just on that, I remember it's probably only a couple of seasons ago. I can't remember the specific player, but a highly owned player, part of the template, got a red card in game week one, and we were forced to move doors. You know, we couldn't bank the transfer then. We had to get in a replacement. So, you know, things will happen, and we may not be able to bank. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely, and also they could get that injury as well. Could affect. I think it was not many people in FPL tend to go for Alisson in Liverpool defence, but you know, nevertheless, he still has a sizable ownership usually each season. He was one. It was a couple of seasons ago, wasn't it? He got injured.
That's right.
In the first game. So then suddenly there was a cut price Liverpool goalkeeper for a few weeks. Let's have a look at your team then and see how effectively you've. Change that, and also sort of we'll go through some of the dilemmas you've got. I've got some tables as we talk, and the fixtures as well I'll put up, but if you sort of go through your team initially and then sort of go back to the goalkeeper, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so just for the audio listeners, it's Johnson in goal, Chilwell, Gabriel, Estupinan, midfield of Odegaard, Saka, Rashford, Bruno, Matoma, Haaland and Watkins up front, and then on the bench it's Areola, Colwell, Buyer and Plange, and there's 0.0 in the bank, so straight away I'm not following my own orders. And the reason there isn't 0.5 in the bank is Martinelli has been in most drafts. As we get closer to the season starting, I've got tiny concerns about his minutes, so a manager like me who is very safe, Odegaard to me is better for minutes, and I've just replaced him just to see how it feels. But I think I'm going to end up going back to either Martinelli or someone else, maybe a Madison, for that little bit of cash in the bank. So, yeah, straight away, I'm not following my own rules here, my own order. So that's something I'm going to address before the deadline on Friday.
Okay, well, I've got a table with comparing Martinelli and Odegaard, which I'll put up a bit later when we come to talk about midfield. But let's start in goal first. So you've gone for 4.5, Crystal Palace keeper Johnson with Areola, who presumably might change to Turner, who is moved from Arsenal to Nottingham Forest, and he's 4 million and looks more likely to start. I've got a table up on the screen of the best 4.5 goalkeepers from last year. So these are the 4.5 now. And I've sorted it by expected goals prevented. I like this. This means that they actively prevented these goals from being scored. And Leno is the top on this list. He's also top four on this list for minutes per save. So you're going to get save points. And not whilst they did get 8 clean sheets, he will actively gain that team the clean sheet. He's a good goalkeeper. Expected goals prevented, getting on for nearly 10 that he actively prevented there. But Fulham did concede 51 goals, so they could have conceded a hell of a lot more if it wasn't for him. 8 clean sheets, best save rate. And Pickford's next up, minutes per save rate, pretty strong, 26.4. And expected goals were prevented with 3.5, so getting on for nearly 4 goals. He was actively involved in preventing. Neto is next for Bournemouth. Better minutes per save than Pickford. Pickford 26.4, Neto 23.8. And he actively, just him, prevented 1.4 goals there. Johnston, flat. He prevented, expected goals prevented was zero. But nevertheless, his minutes per save is pretty strong at 31.2. His clean sheets, just three. But Crystal Palace was sort of a team of two halves there. But goals conceded were just 10 for him. Fabianski's on this list as well. Then Steele and Sanchez. Sanchez now of Chelsea. And I understand that there has been an offer, I believe, from Bayern Munich for Kepa, which means that Sanchez should be the new Chelsea number one at 4.5. So, yeah, lots to deal with there. Johnston's sort of middle of the pack. Not the best. And then you've got the possible Chelsea goalkeeper at 4.5. But he's second best at Brighton. And Leno is the standout, and he was in my very initial draft when I did this way back in summer because of these stats. So yeah, what do you think? You happy with Johnston still?
There is an awful lot going on, isn't there, with this goalkeeper position? It's been absolutely bizarre this preseason. Mm. It's been usually it's one of the easiest decisions, and it's for me it's probably the hardest decision this season, which goalkeeper to go for. You mentioned Areola; he will definitely become Turner as soon as FPL get their stuff together and he moves over to a Nottingham Forest player. So the reasoning behind Johnston, I've always kind of liked him as a, first of all, the quality of him as a player, as a goalkeeper. He's a good shot stopper. I think he's kind of perfectly designed for FPL in terms of saves and bonus points as well. Mm. Also was having a look in the Scout members area this week. Just went and had a look back at the expected goals conceded of all teams last season, and Crystal Palace actually were fourth, behind the likes of City and the better team. So Crystal Palace's underlying numbers were pretty good last season. That's another little tick in Johnston's box as well. Also, when you look, I don't really like rotating goalkeepers. I've never really done it. But if we are going to have Turner, and if he is number one, if they don't sign Henderson, you've always got the option, at least an option. If Johnston does have a tough fixture, Turner has a good one, and I think they do rotate quite nicely, as Turner rotates, I think, quite well with Pickford as well. But you've always got the option. So that's on my mind as well. I want to be open-minded. I don't use zero-take goalkeepers, but when we've got a gift of a 4 million goalkeeper, I think you've got to keep an open mind. You know, if he's playing a promoted team or something like that, you can't be afraid to start him and put Johnston on the bench. And if Johnston gets his 10-pointer against Manchester United or something like that, you just take it on the chin. Because going into the game week, it was a logical decision. So Johnston at the moment is winning the race. Pickford, if I look at kind of the first eight fixtures, he works very nicely as well with Turner on the bench. Leno's, again, it's a bit of a bizarre one because his numbers are so good from last year, but I don't think I've seen him in any drafts. I don't know if it's like a Fulham factor or people just don't think he can repeat it, but he's obviously a very good goalkeeper and the numbers show that. So maybe one of the most overlooked players in the game going into the season. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. But I think I am pretty set on just spending 4.5 and having Turner. You know, I did look at Onana for a bit.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But I don't love the clean sheet prospects for United. You maybe first 6 to 8 game weeks, new goalkeeper to the league. We'll see how he settles in. So I do like spending the 4.5, not tying up too much cash in the goalkeeper, just in case we need to go to a Trent or a Salah, who I don't have in my current team. So yeah. Johnston's winning the race. Pickford's under strong consideration as well. I think it's probably going to be one of those two.
Okay. Not, I mean, Steele, for example, 4.5. I mean, he is nailed to start the season. It's his shirt to lose. He's the league goalkeeper for Bruggen, I think, has been brought in mainly for Europe in the long term. So, Steele with 4.5. I mean, you save 0.5 of going for him over a Stupinan immediately. And also Sanchez in the mix as well. I mean, Chelsea's starting goalkeeper for 4.5. I mean, these sound like better prospects perhaps than relying on an Everton clean sheet most weeks.
Yeah, it's flashbacks to last season when we had a 4.5 Chelsea goalkeeper, and it was money well spent for large part. So again, I just probably want to wait and see on players like Sanchez just to be 100% sure. Steele as well, I do agree. I think he's going to start the season. But you never know later on what happens. When I think of Johnston, he's got no competition. Pickford's not really got any competition. So there's very little risk with those picks, and that's just the way I play the game. If there's any, even if there's a 5% risk, I'll probably just sway away. Give me a player who's 100% nailed. Okay. So yeah, that's where I am on goalkeepers.
Okay, I'll just put the fixtures up on the screen. So just sort of road test that really. So you're looking at say Crystal Palace. You go for them. So bad fixture game week 2, play Arsenal, and then certainly game week 7 when they play Manchester United. So game week 2, if we go down to Nottingham Forest, yeah, they play Sheffield United game week 2. So you can happily play Turner then. And Crystal Palace game week 7, Manchester United. And moving down the list, well, Nottingham Forest got a home game against Brentford, so it's a home game. They're much better at home. So yeah, that does cover it. Covers it nicely. With Everton, well, you got a similar coverage there. They play Villa game week 2, but looking at Everton's tough fixture, game week 5 against Arsenal. Oh, hey presto, Nottingham Forest play Burnley. So yeah, you've worked that out well.
Yeah, I think the Pickford Turner rotation is actually more attractive than the Johnston one, so yeah. I'm going to look at that a bit more.
Okay, let's go back to your team and move into those defensive slots as well. So you've got Chilwell, Gabriel, Estupinan. You mentioned that you might go for a Man City defender as well. You've got Colwell as your 4.5 defender. Now, I don't have a table for 4.5 defenders because there's so many new ones as well. We've got new 4.5 options emerging at Spurs, for example, and obviously a raft of promoted teams that have come up. We don't know if any of those fullbacks, for example, might become, you know, the new John Lundstrom or something like that. So, what's your thoughts about Colwell 4.5, and who else is in your thoughts if you want to stick with that price point?
Yeah, I really do want to stick with a 4.5 defender as my first sub. I don't really want to go to 4 million defenders, particularly from two promoted teams. So I said the goalkeeper is one of the hardest decisions. I think another really difficult decision is which 4.5 million defender to go for. I don't think there's a standout. Botman was in my first draft, but when you look at the fixtures a bit more, you probably don't really want him coming off your bench too often first 4 or 5 game weeks. But I still might go back there just as a plug-in, leave him there possibly all season. I know people are worried about price drops and stuff, but that won't put me off. Colwell, if he starts for Chelsea, super value. But I think Badiashile might not be too far away. I do think Colwell will start the season, but is he a safe long-term FPL pick? I hope so. But I can't say that right now. Whereas a Botman, you know he's going to play. I've looked at Tarkowski more so if I don't go Pickford, maybe just as again, hopefully you're never going to need your first sub too often, but Tarkowski's someone with a bit of goal threat. We looked at the Everton fixtures there. They're good the first 8 game weeks. It was kind of interesting, players like Pau Torres, Matty Cash, but I think there's too much uncertainty with Villa and Europe and kind of maybe a different system at the back this season. So there's enough uncertainty there for me to avoid as well. So yeah, I'm really struggling with this spot. And again, if we're talking about Sanchez as a possible cheap Chelsea goalkeeper, I'm looking at Chilwell. Do I really want to tie up another spot with Colwell, or should I keep that free? Players like Sterling, Nicholas Jackson. So yeah, it's tricky. I could end up back in Botman and just hope that I don't need him in the difficult fixtures. And then long term, I think he's fine. So yeah, and interested to hear your thoughts on these 4.5s.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, I don't have a 4.5 slot at the moment. I have Chilwell as my first sub. Because I've gone for John Stones alongside Gabriel and Estupinan. But Chilwell's there ready. Because I do think everyone's going to want Chelsea game week three for good reason, because their fixtures do change. And so it's important to have those options there. But I'm quite open to having Chilwell and James. James could possibly be on penalties. And if he stays fit, having Chilwell and James, because there's so much uncertainty about their attackers. Jackson hasn't done much to convince me so far in pre-season, been okay, but it was Nkunku was the one I wanted. So in terms of 4.5, just going back to those, yeah, Botman was in my thoughts. And also Henry and Pinnock at Brentford. I do like Brentford defence. It's just a nice, reliable. They're a first sub defence. You know,
they're perfect for a first sub.
Absolutely perfect to come in. You might need them. You get an injury to any players, you can just slot them in. I've got Colwell in my Sky teams, but not my FPL side, because I do have that worry that you have as well, that whilst he might start, you know, it'd be so frustrating when their fixtures turn game week three and then you go to play your double Chelsea defence and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that, you really don't want to be making transfers on a 4.5 defender at any point. So that's why Botman and Tarkowski are more attractive to me. Even if there's slight downsides, one plays for Everton, one's got difficult fixtures. Maybe as a long-term pick, maybe that's the way to go. You're in a similar setup, I think, to a lot of people. Man City defender plus Chilwell on the bench. Yeah. So we mentioned earlier that I am strongly considering a City defender. So what I've actually looked at in the last day or two is, I think if I go for a City defender, Chilwell might come out of my team again. And maybe I go City defender instead of Chilwell.
Yeah.
I'm asking myself, I know I'm going to probably want Chilwell. So I do like the idea of maybe just getting him in to start with. Mm. But I'm not as keen on the kind of City defender plus Chilwell on the bench to begin with. I'm probably not going to tie up as much cash. That's why I like the 4.5 defender. So maybe, I think Ruben Dias instead of Chilwell, possibly. And then, maybe a stooping into Chilwell game week three, game week four, around that stage. So that's just in my thinking at the moment. You know, do I really want to start with Chilwell or can I afford to wait?
Yeah, I think seeing Chilwell on the bench is never a nice sight. But at the same time, I come from a perspective of, at the beginning of the week, I had 3 million in the bank. So now I've got 0.5. So I come at it from a totally different perspective, where I don't mind having Chilwell on the bench. I'm using that money to just invest for future game weeks, and I would prefer to have. I've been saying this, and something that Mark was always used to say. Mark Southerns used to say on the Scoutcast as well, where he would do that. He would load up his bench sometimes with players he wants in the next month. And that's the way I brought up on a previous video this week, Cianciu at Leicester. I got him in about 8 weeks before Leicester's fixtures improved one season, and he was there ready and waiting. And I feel that with Chilwell. I'd prefer to have that because I might want the James Chilwell double up. I don't know, maybe. I don't want to lock myself out of it. But there are lots of options at 4.5. So, both strategies could work and get lots of points.
Yeah, do you know what? It's food for thought for me because I've been pretty set on the 4.5 million defender. Mm. But if I'm really struggling to settle on one of them, maybe I should be more open to going something like yourself, maybe having that better fourth defender. Yeah. And again, I guess my viewpoint with the 4.5 defender is I'm not tying too much cash up, so future transfers are easier in other positions. But on the flip side, what you're saying, which I like as well, is if you've got a strong 12th man, you have less need to make transfers. So it works both ways. Yeah. So that's something I'll probably explore in the next 24 hours.
For example, yourself and many others have got 3-5-2 at the moment. If you have, say, Chilwell on the bench and you've got a Man City defender, Arsenal defender, a Stupinan, it gives you the option to suddenly switch to 4-4-2 if or 4-5-1 even if, say, for example, you don't fancy one of the fixtures or there's an injury to one of the other players. As you said, it saves you that transfer. But that is, I have overdone it before in the past. You probably have as well. I remember one season where Manchester United didn't play in game week one or something like that. And I got Martial in because they had a really good fixture in game week two. And of course, as he does, he's just got injured, tying his shoelaces up or something.
Sneezed and pulled the gun.
Yeah. So that didn't work out. So that planning too far. But yeah, it's that fine balance. But that's part of the game. Midfielders, we'll come to Odegaard and your Martinelli dilemma in a second. But you got Saka, Rashford, and Fernandez. I'm not going to dwell on them too much because they're in your team for good reason, good fixtures, good players, risk-free. I mean, Fernandez is so risk-free that even when he's got broken leg, he still manages to play and score. But it's the Matoma, so it's that 6.5 midfielder. What are your thoughts about Matoma? Could he be another 6.5? And while you mention that, I'll put up on screen a handy little list I've got of 6.5 midfielders from last season.
Yeah, like a lot of managers, I'm struggling also with a 6.5 price point in midfield. Matoma's been in most of my drafts. It's kind of like a warm, cozy feeling because he was very good to me last season. But also the fixtures are good short term. I also rate, you know, Brighton higher as a team over the likes of Brentford and Crystal Palace, where you've got Mbeumo and Eze. So Matoma's got, I think, a lot of ticks in his box. He might not have the penalties like the other two possibly have, which is on my mind. But I just think these three, Mbeumo, Matoma and Eze, they could all be fantastic. And it's impossible to know to begin with. So I'm probably not going to overthink it too much. Focus on the fixtures. Focus on the team I think is the best, and I can always switch to someone else later. And like you said, I want to have that 0.5 in the bank in case Mbeumo or Eze does bang a brace game week one and they're 6.6, 6.7. If I need to get them game week two, you know, I'll be open to doing that. So yeah, it's a really tricky position, this one.
So I'll just read out these stats I've got up on screen just for the benefit of those listening to the audio version. Matoma is top for minutes per expected goal involvement non-penalty. A goal involvement is expected to get every 178 minutes. For Mbeumo, it's 198 minutes. Eze, every 275 minutes. Bearing in mind, the first half of the season was quite different for him. He was utilised a little bit different way. Surprisingly, in a more attacking way under Roy Hodgson. In terms of assists, Matoma and Mbeumo both got 9, Eze just 5. In terms of chances created, this is where Eze shines. 57 he created, 51 from Mbeumo, 41 from Matoma. 7 goals from Matoma, and Mbeumo 9, Eze 10. So Eze comes out tops then. And starts as well. So Eze did start a lot, 30 games, but he was in a slightly more different role earlier in the season. And Mbeumo 36, he's as nailed as you like. He fits in with your don't take risks strategy. Matoma 24 starts at towards the end of the season. Brighton rotated more. We could see that more with Europe, so Matoma may not be a long-term option, but nevertheless, Eze got most points, 159 compared to Mbeumo's 150 to Matoma's 138. So you can see here, I mean, all of them have got something going for them, and all of them have caveats as well. All of them could be great. So yeah, I mean, all of these are in my thoughts, possibly not to start the season, but to move down to, definitely.
Yeah. Have you got any 6.5s in your current team? No.
No, my midfield is Rashford, Fernandes, Saka, Martinelli, and Madison. And just even reading that out
sounds
makes
nice.
Me feel really giddy. But I can move down to a 6.5. But my 6.5 can't move up to a 8. So that's the way I look at it.
I think that's another viable approach. If we can't decide which one's the best, maybe just give it a couple of weeks and then you might know and you can easily downgrade. So yeah, I'm not ruling out maybe spending a bit more on the 6.5 spot. You know, Madison's, Richarlison's, these kind of players. Yeah. But Matoma's winning the race for now.
Okay. So you've got Odegaard currently. Martinelli, another great asset. Arsenal and 0.5 cheaper, which fits in with that initial order about having 0.5 in the bank. What are your thoughts here? And whilst you speak, I've been busy getting the tables done this morning. I've got a Martinelli Odegaard comparison table on the screen, which I'll read out the stats in a bit for the benefit of those listening to the audio version. So yeah, Mark, will Martinelli come in for Odegaard then?
Yeah, I think he will come back in. Like I said, he was probably in my first draft. He's been in most drafts. And it's probably just one of those cases of overthinking when you've got too long of a preseason. You see a player so long in your team, you're like, right, let me see what it looks like without him. But if the deadline was in 5 minutes' time, I would take Odegaard out. I'd put Martinelli back in, get my 0.5 to follow my own orders. So Martinelli, I think, will come back. The other thing I'm considering is Madison in that position. And rather than going with triple Arsenal, go with Madison instead, and then you'd have 1 million to spare. Or you could obviously use that 0.5 somewhere else. Maybe you know, stupid into a City defender and keep Chilwell or something like that. So there's scope for change here. But I guess my thinking on Odegaard was he ticks my box as a very, very safe pick. Again, going back to the orders, you don't have, when you see the Arsenal team sheet, you know he's going to be in it. I do expect to see Martinelli in the team sheet as well, but just tiny, tiny concerns. Yeah. Or maybe Martinelli's the 70-minute player, Odegaard's the 85-minute player. That would be my guess going into the season. So, but again, Martinelli, I rate him extremely highly. Such a good player. I think he could kick on even more. I think he's got the world at his feet. I know you can say the same about Odegaard, but FPL-wise, to me, Martinelli's the guy who can get 20 goals.
Yeah.
Whereas Odegaard is more of a, yes, he's got a lot of goals last season, but he's more of a De Bruyne type to me, the assister. So Martinelli, I think, will come back in, give me the 0.5 in case I need to move him at home or something like that after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar thought process that you just ran through there to say, you know, go without Martinelli and Odegaard and that second Arsenal midfielder and go for a Maddison and a Matoma, for example. And then I looked at it and thought, I had the money in the bank. Who's better, Matoma or Martinelli? And then I quickly changed because the answer is Martinelli. He plays for the better team and he's the better player in that team. And he plays, he was the furthest ahead, I believe, in the Community Shield. He possibly faces rotation during the game, I think he starts from Trossard, but Trossard could play as a false nine. So it's perhaps,
yeah.
And even if, say, Havertz starts a false nine, Trossard could come in for him and Martinelli could stay on the pitch. We don't know. But it goes back to that, the risk there is much more minimal because he will get minutes and he will probably start. It's just the risk is, will he last 70 minutes or 90?
Yeah. And I think the thing I mentioned, you know, possibly double Arsenal instead of triple Arsenal, but I don't want to fall into the trap either of overthinking that because every draft had triple Arsenal. They've got great fixtures, second best team in the league last year. So I think especially when they've got a great home fixture, Nottingham Forest at home, you have a lot of injury issues. I don't want to have double going up a lot of managers who have triple. So I think I'll just make my bed with three and go with it.
Okay. So lots to consider for your team as well. We've got a couple more teams to look at. I assume they asked their dads, but they sent in their dads' teams. Maybe they pilfered them to show us. But anyway, Tanmoy has done this, and this is his dad's team. I'll read it out for the benefit of those listening, and you sort of give your verdict, see if it meets your orders. Onana in goal, in a 3-5-2, Estupinan, Gabriel, Chilwell, very similar to you there. Fernandez, Saka, Salah, and Maddison, and then Mbeumo. So massive difference there. Salah has suddenly come in. He's gone for Maddison, and Mbeumo gets the nod at 6.5. And up top, he is afforded that by having Pedro, the penalty taker for Brighton, well, we think he is anyway, and then Haaland as his captain, and on the bench, a cut price defence. Got a cheap Luton defender, got Mbama, the probably third choice striker at West Ham, to sit on the bench, and Baldock, starting Sheffield United defender, 4 million, and Areola, 4 million, who'd probably become Turner, we'd imagine, but may remain there. So what do you think of this then? This is very different, and it's got Salah.
Yeah, overall, you know, I would love to rip this team to shreds, but as far as a Salah draft goes, I can't really fault it too much. I do think João Pedro, he's been in my thoughts this week, but he doesn't really fit in with my style of play. I prefer a more secure Ollie Watkins 3-5-2 rather than worrying about what happens if Pedro gets limited minutes, etc., etc. So, but if you really want to go Salah and Haaland, I think you got to go João Pedro. I think it could be a gift from the FPL gods this season. I'm happy to go there after 3 or 4 weeks if it proves to be the case. Mbeumo, again, absolutely fine. He's a 6.5. This team, I would change Areola to Turner. I think they can already do it because there's only double Arsenal here rather than triple Arsenal. The only concerns I have with Salah drafts are the bench. You know, it's 2 4.0 defenders. You don't really ever want them coming off your bench. But again, if you want to have Salah, you've got to make sacrifices. And it's not the end of the world. You know, you're probably going to get minutes from all of those 11 players every week anyway. So there's a good chance you won't need the bench. So yeah, overall, as a dad's team, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I would add in that Bayer at Burnley could be a better 4.0 option. He was the sort of the flavour of the month at the beginning of preseason, but he sort of dropped out of lots of teams. And I was talking to Tom about it on the Goals Imminent video, because he's still in my team, and I was saying, have I missed something? Is he injured or something? He was going, no. And in fact, he scored in preseason. So his nickname is Beckham Bayer. That's a
player. That's good enough for me.
That's good enough for me. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good tip about that team. If you are going to put Bayer in there, you don't want Burnley and Luton defender, so you're probably going Bayer and Baldock just for that gimme two blank.
Yeah, definitely. That was the surprise I saw, that people have moved away from him. But yeah, he's another name to consider, especially with this team. I like the look of this team as a Salah team. It's similar to mine, except mine doesn't have Salah in. So I'm starting to look at this and thinking, how can I get Salah in? But I realise now he hasn't got Rashford. He hasn't got Martinelli. He hasn't got Man City defence. He hasn't got a bench.
Again, that's a good example of the sacrifices that I'm not willing to make to get Salah.
Definitely. Let's have a look at another team here. Super Ducks has raided his dad's team to present this to us. So this shows it's got nothing in the bank. So I didn't know with the previous team whether he's got anything in the bank.
I'm guessing it didn't, because no. If Salah's there, you probably don't.
No. Very unlikely. Yeah, I think I've tinkered with that similar draft, and I don't think I could afford it at a Nana with that. So if he's afforded a Nana, he definitely can't. I can't believe he has. So... So for the benefit of those watching, looking at this team, I think I did read out Tamboy's dad's team, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that's fine. Just want to check. Want to make sure, safeguard the audio listeners. Super Ducks' dad's team, Onana with Areola as a backup there. He's got Gabriel, Gvardiol, Estupinan and Chilwell. As a very good potential four there at the back. And Bayer, he's gone for my advice there with a 4.0 Beckham Bayer. And then he's got Saka, Odegaard, Rashford, Foden, he's taking a punt on. Matoma as his 6.5. And up front, he's got Haaland and Watkins. And he's got Archer as well as his backup there. Archer will probably get minutes, especially during Europe, but, you know, be unlikely to start. I can't see him placing Watkins, but yeah, you can go for a few formations with this. What do you think?
Yeah, again, you know, speaking to you today and looking at this draft as well, I think the four strong defenders rather than the 4.5, it's grown on me, and it's certainly something I'm going to play with as we get closer to the deadline. Again, Gvardiol, you're probably looking for an early team leak on that one. Yeah. And if he's in there, great, go for him. Mm-hmm. If he's not in there, you need a backup plan. You don't want to be scrambling with a couple of minutes to go. So maybe have a Gvardiol draft and a Stones or a Diaz draft as well. You'll have to, maybe Onana goes to a 4.5. Again, with this draft, change Turner to Areola when he's changed to Nottingham Forest. Foden, again, a team leak player probably. I think... If there was no such thing as team leaks, I don't think I would go there, because I just don't like the rotation risk. But if you get news that he's starting, absolutely fine to go there as a gamble game week one. There's no Bruno Fernandes here. He's been in every draft of mine. I just think he's an easy pick at his price with the fixtures, with the penalties. So if you do drop Foden out of there, you probably put Bruno in somehow with saving some cash elsewhere. And I like the strike force. That's basically my strike force, Haaland, Watkins, and a 4.5 forward. Yeah. So yeah, again, overall, you're probably just keeping an eye on the City team leaks, and you might need to adjust from there.
Yeah, earlier in the week, we were talking about super subs as well. So if Foden is going to be a super sub, owners shouldn't be too disheartened, because there's extra minutes this season, time wasting, big crackdown. So we're going to see games get into 110th minute quite regularly. If Foden's coming on in the 60th minute, he's no longer getting 30 minutes. He's getting much more time, and he'll be fresher. And the legs of defenders he's against will get weaker as that time goes on. So I think Foden is a reasonable piece. Not to my taste, not because I don't think he'll start, and I don't think he will. It's because he can play in about four or five positions, but he's not the favourite in any of them. And that's what gets me. He's sort of a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And you want masters in your team. You want Rashfords, Fernandes's, Sakas. And that's what puts me off Foden.
Yeah. Give me a Madison all day long over a Foden.
Yeah, exactly. You know where he's going to play. You know what he's going to do. and you know he's going to start, whereas Foden is so many ifs and buts. But that's just me. I mean, and certain managers, I'm quite similar to you. I don't like to take risks. I follow your orders every week. And that one about risks as well. If I do take a risk, it's going to be a much cheaper player. In my case, Pedro. But other managers aren't. They're much more risk-taking. To be honest, they're probably the ones that win it each year. Nevertheless. Thanks so much to the dads and their offspring for sending those teams in. Thanks, Mark, for your thoughts, sharing your team and your dilemmas as well. Good luck with Game Week 1. Good luck with the season. David will be back next week to follow your orders. But for now, Mark, take care. See you soon.
All the best.